From the KCPW Danker Studios on Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. This week, Salt Lake City announced a new strategy for the Pioneer Park neighborhood, helping homeless people get back on their feet while looking at safety and security issues in the neighborhood. We'll talk with Elizabeth Bueller, Homeless Services Coordinator, about the six-step approach the city's adopting to help to change the dynamic in this historic but sometimes challenged part of our downtown.
We don't want to separate for the individuals that aren't homeless and individuals that are homeless.
Right.
We really want to try to bring these two groups together because, again, I can't stress enough, we are all part of one community. Homeless is an adjective. It is not a noun.
All that after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You are listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. Joining me today is my friend, Elizabeth Bueller. Elizabeth is the Homeless Services Coordinator for Salt Lake City. Elizabeth, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me today.
So before we actually dive in, I just have to tell you again, and I've told you this before privately, but let me say it publicly. You are doing an amazing job. You are doing stuff that is incredibly important, and you're helping the city move in a really valuable direction. So I wanted to make sure I got that in before we started the interview, so you know what a fan I am and how proud I am of the great work you're doing.
Well, thank you. And it really is a team. And with Salt Lake City, we have so many people from different city departments working on this, but the city is so blessed to work with our service providers. We have great service providers. The Road Home, Volunteers of America, Utah, Catholic Community Services, 4th Street, and all the others, and also Salt Lake County and the state of Utah. We're just really lucky in Utah, Salt Lake County, Salt Lake City, that we're all focused on one goal of ending homelessness.
Yeah, it's a really important goal, and we're making great strides. I want to set the context a little bit. There was a press conference this week where Salt Lake City outlined many of the steps that have been taken recently to look at this issue. Your position is a fairly new one in Salt Lake City. You've been on the job for about a year now?
About 9 months.
9 months, okay. Although you'd worked for Salt Lake City in the planning department before that.
Yes.
But this specific focus and this attention to this issue is a fairly new new position in the city. And a lot of this, as Mayor Becker said at the press conference, you know, the city's been working on issues in and around the Pioneer Park neighborhood, on homeless issues for a long time. When he first came to office, he established Salt Lake Solutions and focused a lot of attention on Pioneer Park. And every year, things seem to be getting a lot better. And then about 18 months ago, it felt like there was kind of a crisis. Downtown businesses were very concerned. Homeless providers were very concerned. Homeless people themselves were concerned. A big influx in the number of homeless people and homeless families, I think, specifically. And that led to a lot of other challenges. Maybe you can set the stage sort of what has happened over the past 18 months.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I want to say we had the press conference 2 days ago because we really wanted to share some of the things that not only is Salt Lake City doing, but also our partners have been doing. And we just felt we hadn't gotten out there and let the public know that things are really happening in the Pioneer Park neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, our new Metro Support Bureau, the police department, is now in the Pioneer Park and downtown neighborhood. They have dedicated officers to be there 24/7. And in fact, we had a great opportunity at the press event to be at their new storefront. So
yeah.
Right on 200 South between 400 West and Rio Grande.
Right across from the Road Home.
Directly across the street from Catholic Community Services, mm-hmm. We have a great new storefront. So if you can go in there anytime, you'll find a police officer. So that has been great. They've been operating now for about 30 days, and they've made some great impacts on the neighborhood. I've heard from business owners, residents, the service providers, and even individuals living at the Road Home themselves how much they love the police presence down there.
Yeah.
We also have, through a grant from our Council of Governments, so other cities in Salt Lake County have been wonderful. We have a new program. It's called SET, or Street Engagement Teams. These are outreach members from Volunteers of America and the Road Home going out and talking to people about services they might not know about to help them get off the streets and mm-hmm. get them help that they need.
And it really is, and I think that the examples you just looked at really underscore this, that there are issues related to homeless people who need help, Then there are also issues of criminals who are preying often on homeless people or using homeless people to camouflage their criminal activities, mostly related to drugs, frankly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the biggest, I think, the biggest concern. And so the approach that the city has adopted and that providers have adopted and that downtown businesses have adopted really has to be multi-pronged. It's, on the one hand, helping homeless people move forward in their lives, deal with financial issues or addiction issues or whatever the challenges are that they're facing. But then there's the other issue of the crime. And you have to really address both at the same time.
And that's why we're really happy to announce our new homeless services strategy. This is really the culmination of 9 months. As you said, about 18 months ago, there was this perception that things were getting worse in the neighborhood. So Mayor Becker, City Council, dedicated resources to work on this problem. Mm-hmm. So in this past fall and winter, we hired Michelle Strobe of the University of Utah and her team of law students, just great people. They had community conversations. Mm-hmm. They talked with homeless individuals. They talked with our service providers. They talked with police, other government agencies, businesses, and residents. And they really tried to identify the big issues going on in that neighborhood. And they grouped all the concerns into really six major areas. And that was sort of our first step. And number one concern was livability of that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Based on that work, we met with our local service providers in April to see how we could tackle that. And then we also invited this great group of genius urban designers from MIT and Harvard to come in and actually do a design charrette with homeless individuals on what they would like to see in homeless services in Salt Lake City.
And this was called the Social Media Lab, and that happened just a couple months ago.
Social Agency Lab, it was a wonderful, I had a chance to sit on their workshop, and it was just amazing the issues that individuals experiencing homeless brought up. And it's frankly a lot of the same things we hear from other members of the community, the other mm-hmm. residents and businesses in that neighborhood. But all of that has culminated in the homeless services strategy. And what that is based on the areas of concern and the conversations we've had on that, Salt Lake City has identified six goals that Salt Lake City and its partners really need to tackle to address the issues to help people get out of homelessness, but also to improve the livability of the Pioneer Park neighborhood.
Okay, so what are those? Let's talk about each one in turn. What's the first issue?
So the first issue is what we call House 20.
House 20,
and
okay.
What that is that we would like to get vouchers, short-term rental subsidy vouchers to house the 20 most critical needs in Pioneer Park neighborhood, the homeless individuals, I should say.
So identify 20 people who have the most critical needs and put
them
into
housing
immediately.
We had great success in November. It was the Road Home led the effort. But what we did was we housed 98 veterans in 45 days homeless veterans in 45 days. And that, frankly, that is astonishing. Other cities are coming to us asking how we did it so they can follow that model.
I think Mayor Becker actually was invited to go to the White House because of this. This was a really – I mean, people who may not know a lot about this issue should know this is very unusual and very positive
it
that
is.
We were able to do this.
It is, and it's amazing. And I should say that the city played a role in it, but we had great partners to work with. The Road Home, Volunteers of America, Salt Lake City Housing Authority, obviously the Veterans Administration. But we had just a great opportunity. And through that, we'd like to model another program. So this House 20.
Okay.
And what it is, it's for the people who aren't eligible for veterans programs. There are a lot of great benefits for veterans mm-hmm. if you're homeless, as they are in other areas. But what we want to do is not all our homeless individuals are veterans,
sure.
and they need help too. So what we're trying to do is work with city resources, with private resources, and try to get vouchers so we can house these folks.
One thing that's kind of interesting to me is that, and Matt Mankovich at the Road Home has really helped me understand this, that frequently there's a fairly small group of homeless people who often consume a vast majority of homeless services, people who are chronically homeless, homeless for years on end, who are spending every night in the shelter. And what a difficult but, an existence that we can do better.
Exactly.
To just say that this is going to be your life for the rest of your life to spend every night in a shelter. So it sounds like this House 20 is really aimed at addressing 20 people who are in that situation who could be immediately housed building new housing. Just get them a voucher, get them into long-term housing, and start to change the trajectory of those
exactly.
lives.
Exactly. And we really hope that this will spark that, because Salt Lake City and our partners, we believe in housing first.
Yeah.
That if you get someone a place to live, then you work on case management, work on any maybe substance abuse issues, job training, things they need. Because if your main concern, if you don't have a house, that's the number one priority every day for you is trying to find a place to sleep.
That
next night.
Yeah, you think about, you know, safety and security is probably – we're concerned about it as a downtown community. Yeah. But homeless people, I mean, I can go up to my house. I can get in my car and lock the door and go to my house and lock the door. I have a safe, warm, comfortable place to sleep. If that's taken away, it's so hard to deal with all the other elements of your life. So housing first, and in particular, the House 20 is the first step.
Okay. And House 20 really goes into our next initiative. And we call it housing first, but really we want to build, rehab, or acquire vouchers for 300 units for homeless individuals and families.
Great.
And this is part of a larger city effort that we call 5525, and it's building housing throughout the city. And this is coming from our Housing and Neighborhood Development Department, which is a great program, but specifically 300 what we call permanent supportive housing. So that's permanent housing for the homeless. Yeah. And again, that's building new units, that is rehabbing existing structures, but that's also getting vouchers because, and we've talked about this, is that a homeless individual, it's not the same person.
Right.
Homelessness can hit anyone. And so everyone has different needs to get out of homelessness. And so you don't want to just build a single type of housing. You want to have multiple types of housing so you can help all people experiencing homelessness.
It's interesting. I think sometimes people who don't know a lot about this issue, maybe who are interested in it or care about it but don't know a lot about it, just think of all homeless people as sort of a monolithic group. If you're homeless, that's the main category you fall into. But you have families, you have young people, you have people who have been on the streets for a long time. You have people who are homeless for financial reasons, people who may be struggling with mental illness or dependency issues. So that's really a smart way of looking at it, trying to understand what are the different types of people and the different individuals who are struggling with homelessness.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're talking with Elizabeth Bueller, the Homeless Service Coordinator for Salt Lake City, about the city's stepped up approach of dealing with homeless people, helping them move on in their lives, and creating a safer environment in and around the Pioneer Park neighborhood. We will be back after these messages. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, joined today by my friend Elizabeth Bueller. Elizabeth is the Homeless Services Coordinator for Salt Lake City, a new position at the city. Elizabeth is doing great work on a variety of fronts. Today we're talking about the city's recently announced strategy for working with homeless people to really try to make a significant change and improve the lives of the people and create some changes in the neighborhood. The Pioneer Park neighborhood where a lot of homeless service providers are located. Elizabeth, we talked about, you said there are six goals or six steps the city's looking at. We've talked about a couple. What's the third step that the city's trying to address?
So while housing is our main focus, it can't be the only place we give attention to because there are other issues. There are issues affecting the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So our third goal out of six is really looking at day services for homeless individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Salt Lake City, Catholic Community Services, and the Downtown Alliance. We have really partnered to expand services at our current, the Weekend Day Resource Center, which is run by Catholic Community Services.
Mm-hmm.
City is putting extra resources to extend the hours so people have a place to go all the way up to 9 p.m. in the evening.
So previously, people could go there, they could hang out, there were some job, I mean, there were things going on, there was job training, there were things to do, but they didn't have funding to keep it open past 3 o'clock.
Exactly.
So at 3 o'clock, everyone who had been in the day center pushed out onto the street.
Exactly.
Creating some real challenges in that neighborhood.
It is, and unfortunately, people didn't have a place to go.
Yeah.
The places to go were either Pioneer Park, Rio Grande, or 500 West.
Yeah.
And we'd really like people just to have a chance to go. I know at 3 o'clock, I would, especially in the heat of the summer, I would much rather be inside, being able to watch a movie, shower, do laundry, than have to sit out on a dirty street corner. I wouldn't want that. No one would want that.
Right.
So we really wanted to extend the hours, especially for the main shelter, the Road Home, which is right across the street. They start laying people in at 9 p.m. So we really just wanted to close that gap. And City Council was great to allow the extra resources for that. And then Downtown Alliance has done a wonderful job programming space, bringing in outside groups to do volunteer work with homeless individuals. Because, again, we're all members of the same community. So increasing that interaction, but also giving programming and things that you wouldn't normally see, from knitting classes to job training to computer literacy classes. It's just been a wonderful partnership between these three organizations.
Well, and I think looking again at people as individuals who have unique needs, unique desires, and so many homeless people that I have had a chance to talk to are really very gentle, thoughtful souls. There are challenges that they have in their lives, but in many ways they're just like you and me, and it's, you know, sort of there but for the grace of God go I. Okay, so expanding day services, and that is moving forward. I feel very good about that. What are the last three areas that we're focused on?
So right now we're also looking at the location of homeless services. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, this is something that the city we need to work on, because in Salt Lake City, for homeless services, you need a conditional use permit in any district. And even with a conditional use, you're very limited on where you can go. So Salt Lake City is looking internally, looking at ourselves, and seeing what we can do to where homeless services currently are located. And also what are the city barriers and possibly that we can lower to help, in case improved facilities, improved services, what we can do to help in that.
And I want to underscore, because I think this is an important point, sometimes people think about questions about the location of the shelter or the current design of the shelter, and there's a perception that people are trying to move the shelter out or push the shelter out. And I've never heard – that's not true. I have heard a few people say that. But generally speaking, most people are saying – How can we create a really great facility for emergency services that maybe does different things or approaches the issue in different ways, either through design or through location? We know that we will always need to have an emergency shelter of some kind in our community. And I want to also be really clear that in no way does this conversation disparage the heroic efforts of the service providers.
No.
They're extraordinary.
And as I mentioned at the start of this broadcast, we are so lucky in Salt Lake City to have our great service providers, specifically the Road Home, Catholic Community Services, Rescue, all of our service providers. And they do a great job with their limited resources, and we are very lucky to have them here in Salt Lake City.
But this really is a conversation about, is this location the best location? Is this facility the best facility for providing these services? And that's a very fair, legitimate conversation for us
to have. And we need to have that conversation.
We do. And include the providers and include the homeless folks themselves and include the businesses in the community. And I think that idea of a larger community dialogue on this issue, looking at the public and private elements of this, is exactly the right thing to do. So I'm really very, very happy about this step, and the fact that we're talking about it publicly.
Exactly.
It's not secret.
We're
really having a good, thorough conversation with compassionate, thoughtful, smart people about the best way to move forward.
We're trying to.
I think we are. Mm-hmm. Okay, so two last goals for the city.
So the fifth is really all about public safety. Yeah. Again, on Tuesday, we were able to show off the new Metro Support Bureau's storefront, which is just a great place. And the police have put a 24/7 presence in the neighborhood, which was needed, and it seems like it's been doing a great job. But the police can't do it alone. Chief Burbank really stressed that point at the press conference. So what we're doing, again, looking at our own city ordinances, looking at possible ordinances that will make the police jobs easier, but also making sure that we're all working in concert together, all of our public safety. And we have great relationships with police, prosecutors, district attorney's office, and working with justice courts and working the regional jails. So we're all on the same page, because you don't want one group to step forward and then just get blockaded by another group.
Yeah. Well, and the police have said repeatedly that we can't arrest our way out of this.
We cannot
keep putting people in already overcrowded jails. That's not the answer to this. And yet they play a critical role in creating a safe environment. Even if they're not arresting people, just the presence of police officers on the street curtails drug activity. It curtails people yelling at each other or getting in fights or having other antisocial or difficult issues that have kind of plagued this neighborhood for some time. I think the police announced yesterday 430 arrests over the past 30 days, mostly for drug-related offenses and people who have outstanding warrants. And that's significant. These are not they're not going after homeless people. They're not going after people just down on their luck. They're really trying to say, who are the criminals and how can we address these issues?
Exactly.
And that's the right thing for our police department to do.
Oh, it is.
We've got a great police department that really focuses on that.
Oh, they are. I love our police department, and they are so community focused. It's
really
wonderful.
Are. Yep. Yep. Okay, so we've got the last issue that the city's trying to address.
And this is the fun one. So we have some great events that happen specifically in Pioneer Park. We have the Downtown Farmers Market every Saturday
yes.
morning,
thanks
Tuesday
for,
evenings
thanks for
now.
The shout out. Yeah, Tuesdays and Saturdays.
We also have Twilight Concert Series. I don't know if anyone's driven by Pioneer Park recently, but you should stop in and visit the Trapeze Company. It is open to the public. I haven't taken the plunge myself yet, but I understand it's quite thrilling.
They were guests on this show last week,
oh,
actually.
Excellent.
Yeah,
good.
We talked to the Utah Flying Trapeze yeah. just last week on the show.
And our Parks Department is doing other events, but we keep the park, if you drive by on most days, unfortunately, except for the Trapeze Company, it is a quiet space, mm-hmm. and we're not getting a lot of people using the park. So we really want to animate the park. We want to animate the neighborhood, and that's especially where we work with our great partners like the Downtown Alliance and with the Downtown Community Council and just get more events in that neighborhood. But not just – we don't want to separate for the individuals that aren't homeless and individuals that are homeless.
Right.
We really want to try to bring these two groups together because, again, I can't stress enough, we all are all part of one community.
Yep.
Homeless is an adjective. It is not a noun.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to have these events for the public, but for our entire community in that neighborhood.
It's a really good point. And frequently people ask us, for the farmers market, what do you do with the homeless
yeah.
people? Do you bust them out of the park? Do yeah. you lure them away someplace? Mm-hmm. And absolutely not. The
no.
homeless are an important part of that community. And they frequently are part of the farmers market. If you look in Pioneer Park and you see 50 homeless people there, that's one scene. If you look in Pioneer Park and you see 10,000 farmers market attendees and 50 homeless people, that's a completely
exactly.
different scene. And so really thinking through the dynamics of this neighborhood and how do we bring more people down there is a great thing to do. And to your point, Liz, we really are doing some great things right
yeah.
now. I'll tell you, last summer I was at my wit's end. I didn't
yeah,
know what to do.
It
was really challenging. And I remember going to the city council and saying, we need help. Like, this is really a crisis. And maybe people don't see that, but people in that neighborhood are seeing a crisis. And I'm very impatient, and I always want us to be moving more quickly, but I have to just say the city has stepped up, really tried to address this thoughtfully in a variety of different ways that you've outlined today, really trying to address the situation in ways that are proactive and thoughtful and focused on long-term solutions.
And I want to say we're calling this a strategy and not a plan for a very specific reason, because this is a roadmap for the next 18 months. This isn't we want to accomplish these in the next 20 years. I come from planning and we think long-term, but this is these are goals we will accomplish in the next 18 months. So you will see immediate impacts in the neighborhood.
Well, we already have. And again, thanks so much for your work.
Thank you for your time.
This has been Downtown SLC on KCPW. Join us every Thursday where we discuss the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center.